Yeah, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Emian Startup Show. So we are talking about bots with my guest Carlos Fernandez. He's the founder of Blaze. Blaze is an exciting chatbot that delivers trending information through your cell phone. And in this podcast, Carlos talks about how he came up with the idea. We also discuss why bots, who it's actually for, how big they actually want to go, and qualities of an entrepreneur must have if they're going to succeed. Also, some chat about Singapore, and finally, some useful information on product market fit. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Carlos. Thanks for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much for having me.
Please tell the listening millions what you're building, please.
Awesome. So we've built a bot called Blaze, and Blaze is a bot that delivers trending information right on your cell phone. Through a messenger interface. So that's basically a Facebook Messenger, and every day or every 2 days or every week, it'll tell you the trending videos, the trending news, you know, what's buzzing, and you get all that in one single place.
Where did you get the idea from?
Well, you know, I'm a bit of a news buff and a news addict, and I usually it takes me a variety of sources to search down and hunt down. To find exactly, you know, something that I'm looking for, know what's going on. And that's a morning ritual that takes me, you know, through many different websites. And I thought it would be a good idea to just put it all together and see what's trending.
Excellent. And how long has it been going? And how's it going so far?
Well, Blaze has just been named Blaze. It started as something called the Now Trending Bot. And, you know, the Now Trending Bot, as the name describes, is something on Telegram, and it basically did the same thing. And over time, we saw, you know, the bot was ranked, I think, number 5 in the Telegram bot store. And it was growing fairly rapidly. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that there were millions of users, but it was still one of the most actively used bots on Telegram. Mm-hmm. And that really basically told us that there's, you know, incredible potential if you have the right number of, you know, you are on the right platform with the right number of users. And that's why we decided to sort of build it on the Facebook Messenger platform. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are today, because Facebook has, you know, 1 billion users. Telegram has a much smaller user base. So potentially that will give us access to more customers and we can see better growth.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Is it just for the Indian community at the moment, or is it for the whole of the world?
Yeah, so we're focused on the Indian market. You know, I'm based in Singapore.
Okay.
My co-founder is based there as well. And but you know, we grew up in India, and we've always been fascinated by the vibrancy there. And so we're launching it in this market first. It does deliver trending information from around the world, so it's not just, you know, Indian news. You can get US videos and pretty much any video or any news story that's trending, you'll find it on our bot. But India is definitely our market. India is where we are focused on. India is where we're doing a lot of customization for. India is the default country you visit when you access the bot at blaze.in.
Is this your first startup then?
Well, no, it isn't. This is actually my second one. The first one was dealt in enterprise software. And we closed, you know, several Fortune 500 customers, and then we sold the assets to a European private equity entity.
Mm-hmm. So when you first started BlazeBot, what were like the obstacles that you had to overcome?
So Blaze is basically an evolution of, not an evolution really, because that represents a change, but it's a product that's very much aligned with another product that we've built, which is called Instant TV,
okay,
which involves the curation of publicly available web video,
okay,
and delivers it as a continuous linear stream.
Right.
And many of our customers are, you know, MSOs, large, you know, pay TV operators or telcos. And they were like, you know, can we just get trending information instead of, you know, pre-deciding that we want, let's say, a makeup channel, or, you know, a sports channel, or, you know, a pranks channel. Mm-hmm. And we said, sure, you know, we can scour the web and get that information and build it out. So Blaze is really a consumer interface of that same concept. Mm-hmm. And we're looking to work with media partners and, you know, to get various media companies to get their content on bots, right, within a consumer's messenger interface. So Instant TV does curate. With Instant TV, we curate content based on what our customers want and deliver them as continuous 24/7 linear channels. So just think about this for a moment. In a single day, the video uploaded to YouTube, can you potentially guess how long it would take you to view that video?
Oh, I have no idea. Must be a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah, it would take you 30 lifetimes. Okay. So that's assuming you live till 70 or 80, multiply that by 30, right? So there's so much video uploaded, and it's not a content problem, it's a curation problem.
Okay.
How do you organize content that is in this vast sea of content? Only a sliver of it is really appealing to, you know, various sections of society. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem that we're focused on, you know, with Instant TV, which is our other product. So for example, when you switch on the television, right, it's one button, and, you know, and I'm talking about traditional televisions, one button, and you just see this continuous stream of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And sessions with television, right? They've done some research and where it says the average television session consumers spend is like 120 or 129 minutes.
Yeah.
And it takes them roughly 23 minutes to find what they want to watch, mm-hmm. right? So if you take the watch time versus search time, it's a very significant percentage of your time you're actually watching. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, when you look at, you know, even the most advanced technologies using the most AI, the most sophisticated recommendation engines like Netflix, mm-hmm. right? You have an average watch time of 91 minutes, mm-hmm. but an average search time of 29 minutes. And I could be wrong with a minute or here, mm-hmm. but in essence, your watch to search time is substantially more in something as, you know, as old school as linear broadcast television. Right, which sort of makes you wonder, why would you see these numbers when Netflix knows exactly what you want? Mm-hmm. Why would you see so much more watch time on broadcast? And the idea is that it's all curated, it's all organized. You press a button, it delivers it for you. When you're on Netflix, you're scrolling, you're deciding, should I watch this? Should I watch that? Mm-hmm. And then by the time you decide something, you know, you've already found you spend a fair amount of time. So that's the problem that we think that's the problem that we're trying to solve. We're saying, let's take all this massive sea of YouTube, Vimeo, all this content, organize it, deliver it as a linear, crisp channel where a user has to press a button and be entertained, mm-hmm. right? As an extension of that concept, the idea came to us is, what about just trending information? So in one case, it's linear, it's packaged, mm-hmm. right? But in another case, it's you can have one trending video that relates to, you know, the BBC professor who's doing, you know, the BBC interview, mm-hmm. you know, he was doing an interview on Korea, I think, and the kids run in, and then you have another video that's trending on trailers, and we can also present those videos, that news content, mm-hmm. to a consumer on his device. And that's what Blaze is, right? So Blaze is like an on-demand-ish sort of version, mm-hmm. where you get the most hottest information. And that's also why it's called Blaze, right?
Yeah.
Like Blaze, fire for trending, for, you know, for speed. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Sounds really exciting, actually. How would you make money out of it then?
You know, so that's an absolutely good question. I think many companies are trying to get their content into the bot ecosystem.
Yeah.
I think I should take a step back before, and I didn't cover this, was why bots, right? Mm. Why not an app? Or, you know, why not a website, right? So if you look at it, you know, websites continue to exist today, but apps have, you know, dominance has shifted towards apps.
Mm-hmm.
And if I use the term very, very loosely, I'll say, you know, apps have replaced websites, right? And why did apps replace websites? Because they were sort of snappy, they were easy to use, and they were on cell phones, right? Because the shift happened from desktops to cell phones, and apps were best suited to that environment. Now, when you look at the phone environment, right? What do you do most on the phone, right? If you look at the top three or four or five apps, 85% of your time is spent on those apps,
yeah.
And in fact, the top app you use, you have 50% of your time being spent on that single app. Mm-hmm. So now you know that the mobile device is the device of choice, but you also know that the messaging platform or the chat interfaces is the application of choice. So instead of going outside and building apps and, you know, and struggling for those tiny slivers of time, you deliver it through a bot mm-hmm. on the messaging platform where a consumer can get it and communicate with it just as he would another human being, right? So it's like his friend, his cool friend that knows everything that's trending. Mm-hmm. So that's really why we are focused on bots, and that's the reason for adopting this whole bot platform. And statistics show that out of 20 users that download your app, mm-hmm. only one of them is using it by the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And after 3 months, zero of them are using it. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that despite the cost to get people to download stuff, the investment, it basically all withers away in 3 months. Mm-hmm. And we think bots sort of solve that problem because it's a conversational, it's a natural interface where, you know, you don't need to teach anyone to text. We've been doing that for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's the reason we've gotten into bots. And now that brings me to the original question, which was, you know, how do you intend to monetize? How do you intend to build a business about this, around this? And I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to help media companies get their content on this sort of viral ecosystem, which is the bot ecosystem, right? And deliver their content there. And if we, then the way we function is we show, you know, short snippets or micro snippets of news articles and a customer clicks. And eventually the customer is directed to the actual news article, right? So that's 100% monetized by the news media. And over time, if we can help more and more customers or more and more of our users go there, then we're generating like a valuable proposition to driving traffic, driving use of those websites. And then, you know, my principle is that, you know, you may have an idea of how you can monetize, mm-hmm. but really the biggest thing is, are you generating value anywhere down the value chain? Mm-hmm. And if you're generating value down the value chain, whether it is through, you know, whether a model, you know, emerges through content marketing or a model emerges through, you know, businesses paying you for usage and for, you know, for greater use of media websites, so you become a publishing play mm-hmm. for media companies, all that sort of sorts itself out if you're generating value in the stream, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're looking at potentially doing content marketing, like the Taboolas of this world. So for example, you have an app and, you know, you start all your, you know, we start delivering a lot of your news content on this bot. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was mistaken. I used the word app, but we deliver your news content. If you choose to have content marketing embedded in that same bot, you know, that's something that we could potentially generate revenue from mm-hmm. and share it with the actual platform.
Excellent. You mentioned marketing before. Who are you marketing this for then? Is it like students or families? Who would use the Blaze bot?
So, let me get to that and again take one step behind, but one step back, right? So today we are a bot that delivers all this trending information, right? It's one place, all delivered through our messaging platform. But what we're thinking about and what we're building moving forward is we're saying, how do we integrate comedy and entertainment with news in a way that doesn't dilute the news? And I'll give you a little bit of an example. You know, one of the stats that really impressed me was that most millennials get their news from their news from the Jon Stewarts and Trevor Noahs of this world. Okay. Which was an absolute stunning revelation for me, because they're not saying they're getting their comedy from these sources. Mm. They're not saying they get their humor from these sources. They're saying they're getting their news from these sources. Mm. And if you take the concept of YouTube and you say it's really an internet version of America's funniest videos, then what is the internet version of Jon Stewart and, you know, or Comedy Central, you know, satire? Mm. You don't have that equivalent. And what we're trying to do is build this bot which delivers more than just the news content, but a commentary layer on top of it, So people can sort of share news articles with their comedy or commentary overlaid through captions and through videos within the news article, but without diluting it. So it's shared as a single packet, but the video and the commentary is sort of isolated but attached to the news article. So that's where we are going, and that's where we think that it's going to be incredibly interesting for millennials to adopt. And it's sort of like Snapchat meets the news. And, you know, stand-up comedy is so popular today and virtually in that segment.
Sounds like a big market. I mean, how big do you want to go with this?
So, you know, market size is something that, you know, is really looking at things in a crystal ball. But I think, you know, with how we've done on the Telegram store, if that's in any indication, we want to do as well, if not better. We want to be one of the top three or four bots, preferably the number one bot, but at least the top three bots on your messenger platform. And when WhatsApp starts into introducing a bot platform as well, we want to be the first there, right? So that's we think bots are a growing market. They're a growing opportunity, and we want to be on, you know, as many devices as possible. In Singapore, for the Instant TV app that we've built, you know, 1 in 8 Singaporeans, you know, have used the app. And that's a big number. And if we could get anywhere remotely near that, and I'm aware that it's a big ask, because, you know, you can't compare Singapore bandwidths with the bandwidths in other parts of this world. But if we can sort of get very serious traction, that's something that will obviously be very exciting.
You mentioned
what we are working towards.
Yeah, you mentioned Singapore. What is the tech startup scene like? And do you have any like favorite startups in Singapore?
Well, favorites are hard to say, but there are lots of startups constantly emerging. The government's done a fantastic job in promoting entrepreneurship. I'm involved in, I've been involved in some of the earliest government efforts on various advisory committees to help drive entrepreneurship and creativity and startup ideas. And that's been a work in progress for as long as as far back as, I think, 2002, 2003. So the results are beginning to bear fruit right now. You know, you've had some big exits, and you know, everyone wants to do a startup, right? So that's that culture is definitely built out, and I think it's really testament to what an active and proactive government can do to drive the ecosystem. You know, so a lot of the Singapore government's initiatives have been to seed the ecosystem and step back, seed something else and step back. So whether it is intellectual property, patents, trademarks, you know, in virtually every sphere of, you know, startup growth, the government has been actively involved. And then once they've built that momentum, they let the free market, you know, handle it. And that's a wonderful approach.
You said that everyone is thinking about doing startups. What would you say is the one quality that an entrepreneur should have, in your opinion?
The one quality, I think, you know, I'd say persistence is important, but I don't want to overstate that as well, because you get a lot of different views, and some people say, you know, you need to drop it if you think it's not working, and you can't persist with a bad idea. So I don't want to just give a headline. I think, and most people that want to be entrepreneurs are willing to put in the work and are willing to persist to make it happen. So my view is actually it's not about a good entrepreneur versus a bad entrepreneur, or someone who has the attributes and someone who doesn't have the attributes. I think it's really about product market fit. It's really an entrepreneur who's found product market fit and an entrepreneur who's not found product market fit. And you have some very good entrepreneurs that have built great companies that have then gone on to sell them for hundreds of millions of dollars, and then tried another venture, and they've not, you know, managed to find that product market fit, right? Despite, you know, having that the street cred that helps them to raise capital and everything. So really, you know, when you're trying to build something new, you're operating in an environment of uncertainty. You're operating in an environment where you don't have a clear understanding of a market size, And that's exactly where, you know, the opportunity lies, you know, the whole blue ocean thing. And my answer is more biased towards tech, right? Because there's some, you know, some areas where you have a clear understanding of market sizes. But if entrepreneurs should be solely focused on achieving product market fit, that's all that matters. That's all that's important. And it's, they shouldn't take it personally. There's it's not really about, you know, being a successful and an unsuccessful entrepreneur. It's really just achieving that or not achieving that. So I think there's a lot of pressure and, you know, there's a lot of emotional intensity that comes along with being an entrepreneur. And then there's that, you know, even though entrepreneurs know that they can fail, they don't want to fail. They don't want to accept that. But it's really not about failure. It's about markets, right? And you see so many ideas that have been have been old ideas that have failed, that were too early, then they've come back. And I can go back and say, you know, the Diamond Rio, right? If you look at the MP3 player, the Diamond Rio was one of the first MP3 players. And, you know, but then Apple came in and, you know, completely owned that market, right? And the Diamond Rio was a fantastic MP3 player. And it was not that people were not using it because of usability or anything, right? It was just that market grew to that point. People had accumulated so many MP3 files, and the marketing push happened at the right time. So being too early is actually just as bad as being too late. I think you need to be timed right, but slightly earlier than when everyone else is talking about it. So that's the sort of the sweet spot.
Excellent. So let's go back to Blazebot then. What would you say is like the hardest part about building the business? You know, what takes up most of your time?
I think for Blaze, the hardest part is telling people and explaining to people why bots are going to be big and whether they will, you know, and because, you know, bots are certainly not mainstream today. And I think there are a variety of, there are several reasons for that. And I, one of them is that Facebook Messenger is probably the largest, is the largest bot platform. But Facebook doesn't have a bot discovery mechanism, right? So you can't search for Blaze on Facebook, and you know the likelihood of finding it or finding any bot is rather remote. But once Facebook, you know, releases what's widely expected to be a bot store, perhaps on April 17th or 18th at their developer conference. Then that environment will change, right? So you have a store, you see what's trending, you see what rankings the bot has, and then you start adding the bot. And adding a bot is so much easier, right? It's pressing a button and adding it to your contact list, basically, as opposed to actually downloading an app, right? So I think the discovery problem is the biggest issue. It's the market being ready or not, right? So you know, as entrepreneurs, you know, they always say, you know, good entrepreneur, bad market, market wins. Bad entrepreneur, good market, market wins. Right. So it really comes to that. And that's a principle that I adopt as well all the time. Just trying to see how we can get to product market fit and, you know, where the market is today and where it's heading.
Excellent. Last few questions then. What excites you most about this business?
That's a good question. I think the most exciting thing for me about the business in the long term is sort of, you know, there's been so much conversation about fake news and people being in various silos. Sort of breaking these silos down, giving people the opportunity to discover content, discover news, make it easy for that to happen. Also allow them to insert their spin, but without destroying the sanctity of the news itself. So, I think that allowing that creative layer along with factual information and bringing together entertainment and news is something that I think hasn't been done before. It's something that's scary. Is there a market for it? But it's something that if it succeeds, it'll be really cool if it does.
Okay. Away from your business, what are your hobbies and interests? How do you like to unwind?
How do I like to unwind?
See, watching TV.
I'd like to say I surf, and that sounds so cool, but I actually spend a lot of time reading stuff on the internet.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with information. Right? I'm obsessed with reading different spins on the same thing. I love the various stories and how, and I think that's probably what's driven me towards the business. But otherwise, disconnected from the internet or the technology universe, I like to run, mm-hmm. And sometimes play soccer, just some sports now and then, but I like to run a fair bit.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Who are your heroes? Who people you look up to? They may be dead or alive.
That's another good question. I don't think I'd like to name one. I think every success has had comes at some sort of cost, right? And I think that what I try to do is I try to look at various people, see what they've achieved, and think about the attributes that I would like to embrace myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the approach that I generally take.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sort of best answers the question.
It seems the bot industry is quite new. If someone's listening and wants to get into the bot industry, what must they do?
Well, there are a ton of resources on the web, how to build a bot, what you want, I think it's important to think about... So I think I'd like to answer that question from a slightly broader perspective, mm-hmm. right? You have newspapers, you have websites, and then you see these websites transformed or delivered through app technologies, right? So you have apps, and now you're seeing that shift happen to bots.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you can't take a round peg and shove it into a square hole, right? What you want to do is you want to think about what really works with a bot medium, mm-hmm. right? So you can't say, oh, this was a great app, let me make a bot out of it. Right? You want to think about what really works in the bot ecosystem, what works as a conversational interface, and what ideas you can incorporate that really serve that medium. And if you can come up with that, then the rest is fairly simple.
Excellent. So last question, if people want more information on you and Blaze, what must they do?
Well, it's very simple. You go to blaze.im. There's a big blue button there that says add to messenger. Click it on your phone. It'll open messenger, prompt you to accept the bot.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're done, message it. The bot will give you the hottest news, the trending information, and you're done. It's a click. It literally takes less than 3 seconds. There's no waiting for something to download, waiting for something to install. That's it.
Brilliant. Carlos, thank you for coming on the show today.
It's a place that I am.
Yeah. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you so much, Neil. It's been a pleasure. Greatly appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Have a great week and good luck to Blaze.
You too as well. Thank you.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you very much. Thanks to Carlos for coming on the show today. Thanks for listening and subscribing. If you like the show, please leave a comment in iTunes. Thank you for supporting the podcast. I should be back next week. If you want to come on the show or send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co or tweet @IndianStartupSH or please go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. I would love to connect. Thank you and goodbye.